So I preached in church the other day.
Good, like you do.
Well, I'm not sure it was a preach, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But, okay. You know, I gave it my all. Obviously, good. You know, I like to think it's a decent, you know, decent enough little talk. Mm. And then they had the hymn afterwards.
Mm. Good.
And the opening line was, "The strife is o'er, the battle is done."
So true. Who chose that for after you preached?
I don't know. I think it's just a prophetic voice, really, isn't it? Really, it's all over now.
It would have been funny if you'd done it, but it's strangely insulting.
Well, I mean, I suppose the alternative would be things can only get better.
Yeah, we don't sing that in church anymore.
Welcome everyone to episode 282 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there's Joe Davis.
Things can only get better.
And the strife is far from her, it's about to begin in earnest.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've had some great feedback this week though, so it's a good episode, I think.
Yeah, we have. We've got lots of feedback to get through. I don't think we've got any church notices, have we?
No, I don't have any.
How did your conversation go?
It was great. It was really good. Yeah, lovely. If anyone wants to be in on that or would like to see a copy of that conversation, they can email joe@midfaithcrisis.org, let me know, and I can send you a link to it. So Dave was in fine form. You know, we just took questions and jammed around all those issues that sort of leaders have. So, yeah, it was good. And Dave was excellent. Thank you, Dave, for doing that. Yeah. But I tell you what, the only good bit is there's a couple of great interviews coming up. So I've already interviewed the fabulous Dave Tomlinson. He is such a lovely man, isn't he?
I don't know. I've never met him.
Have you not?
No, you have this habit. You always assume, you often say, our dear friend, about people who you know, and I have no idea who that, well, I do know who he is, obviously.
I think because I associate the podcast with us, and he's been on the podcast, so I just think, it's the royal we, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the other truly lovely man I'm interviewing tomorrow is Brian McLaren, about his new book, Life After Doom, Wisdom and Courage for a World Falling Apart. Oh man, that sounds like a good title, doesn't it?
So, cheery.
Yeah, exactly.
No, good. So, a friend of the podcast now.
Well,
you know,
he is a friend of the podcast. He's always very complimentary. I wonder if he'll talk about what a great name we've got again every time he comes on.
Yeah, he probably has forgotten he did it before, to be honest.
Well, he probably has. It's not like he does anything else in between us interviewing him.
No. Just sits around twiddling his thumbs. Anyway, apart from that, how are you?
Well, yeah, good. What's been going on? Oh, I went up to London to see both my remaining brothers, but in fact it was only one, and we ate tacos and we remembered my brother Brian. And that was very lovely time, very good. You know, just talking about parents, finding out stuff I didn't know
really
about my parents is very interesting, very revealing. Yes, it was good. So that was good. I did really enjoy doing the Staying Defiantly thing with Dave, but also in a way I'm quite glad it wasn't the 2-day thing and it was just a Zoom in the evening, and clearly everybody else is.
Yes.
But it's one of those things. I was chatting to my spiritual director about it. You know, I sort of, the days, not that it was a conference, it was an invitation to come to a conversation, and I love trying stuff and I really don't mind if it doesn't work, but it just made me realise, I think, how settled I feel trying stuff and it not working. It just doesn't bother me anymore. And I was talking about church, and I was saying again, because it's a while since I saw him, I said what we did for Easter. And I said, I just love this half a dozen people. We went on a walk and we went to the woods and we did these meditations and we thought about death and resurrection. And I was saying, you know, that for me is, you know, it's probably one of the best Easter services I've ever done. Not that that was a service, but you know what I mean? Like, I just feel so happy with that kind of get up, exploring together, not preaching anymore, not doing all that. Yeah, no, just, it was just an interesting reflection. I kind of like, and even revisiting the stages of faith and recently as we did, and thinking, oh yeah, gosh, yeah, we've moved on a bit, a lot in many ways. Mm. So yeah, life is good. Work is very busy. And yeah, things are good. How about you now? How are you? You've been retreating.
Well, sort of. It was a big staff sort of go away retreat thing. Yeah, very good. Really good. I'm sort of all peopled out now. Just got in. So, of course, obviously the thing I really want to do is Zoom call an extrovert. That's really...
I don't know what you love it. You really do.
Really cheering me up. Yeah, so it was nice. Yeah, it was good. It was kind of... I tell you, it's interesting. We went to High Lee, which is a conference centre, and I used to go and do loads of stuff there. Yeah. And, you know, like we talked about last week about Lorna's email about can you go back and can you revisit? And I always feel when I've been there over the years so much to these conference centres, it's always kind of odd to go back in and realise each time you're, like you were saying, at a different stage.
Yeah.
So last time I was there, I think I was leading a church weekend or a weekend for an organisation or something. I was speaking. And this time I wasn't doing any of that. And I was really happy not to be doing any of that. And, you know, it's kind of, yeah, I think things have changed really. But that was nice.
Good.
Yeah. I've come home to realise that I forgot to put the heating back on. So I'm now, I've got hypothermia straight away, obviously.
Yes, it is midwinter at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of turned again. Yeah. And as I said, yeah, spoke in church. And what was funny about it was, it wasn't a sermon, it was an address, apparently.
Okay.
I didn't know what the difference is. But, you know, I don't mind that again. You know, frankly, I don't mind if I never give another sermon in my life. You know, I don't care. You know, to me, I just said, oh, I'm going to have a chat, really.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine, well, Heather, who we talked about last week, I talking to her, and she was saying that in where she lives they have a lot of I think they're called pulpit exchanges, you know, where a vicar from one church or a minister from one church goes and preaches in another.
Yeah.
And officially in the Catholic Church you're not allowed to preach unless you're a Catholic, you see, priest. And when the Anglican vicar went there, the priest got up and said, he said, right, well, we've got our guest today, the Reverend so-and-so. And he's not going to preach a sermon. He's just going to give a really, really, really long notice. So maybe that's what I was doing on Sunday. But I did enjoy it because I was speaking about 1 John 3. And it's just one of my favourite passages. And, you know, I always think the church would be a totally different place if we'd spent more time thinking about 1 John 3:16, which is all about love, and perhaps less time angsting about John 3:16.
Interesting.
Which is equally about love, but in a different way. Anyway.
Well, there you go.
So it was good. And I in an ever more sort of dwindlingly interesting segment, I should be thankful this week for custard.
Yes. Good.
There's nothing much more to say about is there?
I'm never going to disagree with you, because every week you talk about food, and as we all know, I eat everything.
It's just because I've been to this conference centre, and when you go to these places, there's always a certain element of... The food was very good, but there's always a certain element of school food about it. And, of course, custard and sponge pudding and all that kind of stuff.
Did it have a skin on it?
No, it was proper. It was very good, actually. Yeah. No, the skin is tricky, isn't it?
It's one of my memories of my dad. He loved the skin. Like, it was a treat to have the skin, and I always hated it. I thought it was a really disgusting thing. It splits people, doesn't it? But I'm sure the young people listening to this are only 26 years old. They won't even know what we're talking about. They've never seen skin on custard. It comes out a can. There's no skin on it.
They've got it for some Madagascan vanilla out of a tub.
Exactly.
Which is terrific, I have to say.
Yes, it is lovely. Great,
anyway, we should get on, because we have got lots of really good comments and questions and feedback this week.
Okay, well, let's just steam on through this. Right off, Phil from Oz says, g'day, and he asked if we'd seen the film Freud's Last Session, starring Anthony Hopkins. Have you seen that, Phil?
No, so in answer to your email, Phil, g'day, and no.
Yeah,
is the answer
it looks good from the trailer. It looks like it's Freud talking about sort of how ridiculous it is to believe in God with a friend or an associate who clearly is a believer. And it's, looks like it's quite interesting. Okay, so Sue says this. So, demographical target of mid-faith crisis. 5 years ago, I had no idea where I would be today. Through family circumstances, I found myself seeking fresh knowledge, which led in turn to visiting more inclusive churches and ultimately leaving my Baptist church. I did not want to lose Jesus, but wrestled with doubt, the Bible, bigotry, and church. Friends Jane and Martin pointed me to your podcast, and I unexpectedly found myself carefully, prayerfully, and heart-thumpingly deconstructing without so far losing my footing and faith. New people to listen to, books to read, you helped me take an exciting journey without being completely derailed. One minister, a complete stranger, said, "Sister, you are walking into the arms of the devil."
Is that us?
I assume so, which caused much anxiety and self-examination at the time. It helps that you have two different perspectives and church backgrounds, both believe in the divine and love wins. So I've come to the podcast and subsequent new journey in my 70s, nearly 40 years after I embarked on that first baptismal journey. I'm getting to the end of this life rather than the middle, but I'm very much at a new beginning with L plates spiritually. It's never too late to have a mid-faith crisis and survive the crisis, but joyously and eagerly continue on the journey. Warm regards, Sue. That's lovely, isn't it?
Isn't that lovely? Yes. I mean, I think the thing is that you never have to lose Jesus. You know, nobody ever loses Jesus.
No.
He is with us even unto the end of the age, as he said. So, you know, I think that's a lot of people feel that worried about that. But no, not at all. And I think Jesus likes people who think, I don't know, maybe.
I would have said so. Yeah. Mm. Okay, great. Thank you. This is from Neil. He sent a photo of his book pile by the side of his bed, and your book was on the top, and he swears that wasn't manufactured, that it just happened to be there. So I was wondering, do you like the fact that people go to bed with you? Yeah, as it were.
As it were. Mm. Yes, I do. Obviously, I mean, the question is whether, frankly, the fact he's on top of the pile is because he's having trouble sleeping, and it needs something to put him out. So my work might be handy for that. But I don't know, really. Of course, I love it. I love it when people read my books. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't write them.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. And they're great books, as we all know. And Jill says this. This is a great question, actually. She says, "Hi, Joe. Just listening to podcast 277 on Does God Really Need Our Praise?" And she says, "We were nodding along in agreement for much of it, but one particular bit that struck me was your honesty about lament. You expressed that life to you is a series of hurdles that need to be negotiated. It was great to hear someone express my view of life too. Having just attended a friend's induction and ordination, where we were encouraged by the minister leading the service to choose life, I have struggled with that phrase since, as it was emphasised time and time again throughout the service." And then in brackets, she says, "Maybe God was trying to tell me something. As you said in the podcast, there are many struggling with illness and difficulties. Do they want to choose life? I'm not sure what I'm choosing. The preacher obviously related it to choosing to follow Jesus, and so doing would automatically follow. But I chose to follow Jesus decades ago, and I can't say that it has given me life. Perhaps it gives me purpose and hope and a belief that someone is walking the journey with me and knows what's up ahead. But I struggle with the idea that it gives me a fullness of life, as scripture, hymns and preachers all imply that it should. Am I missing something?" And then she says, "Some might say the Holy Spirit. I'd be interested in your listeners' thoughts sometime. Thanks from Jill." So there you are. You come into this gig, you sold your Jesus insurance policy, being promised life in all its fullness, and then life deals you, you know, a whole load of obstacles and difficulties, and you feel you've been missold, as it were.
Well, I think maybe it's to do with what we expect life to be.
Yes.
You know, rather than, because I would say that, you know, all that kind of stuff you talked about there, Jill, is life. You know, that is that is the reality of life in all its messiness and its goodness, and everything's muddled up. Maybe what happens is when people talk about fullness of life or following Jesus, they mistake that for happiness, which I'm not sure is the way.
Yeah, I think Jesus didn't say, "I've come to give you happiness in all its fullness." It's life, the whole shebang, the whole broad array in all its rich tapestry. So grief is a part of life. Loss is a part of life. But so is childbirth. And so, you know, are chiff-chaffs and trees and the sea, just to name a few great things. And custard. I mean, come on, custard.
Well, you know, custard is holy ground, I think. And all of these, all of these places are kind of holy ground. I've been thinking a lot about the many times in the Bible where people ask to see, or when we're encouraged to see things. You know, the Jesus prayer, you know, which is like a Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And the usual thing is a sinner. I never use the sinner bit because I always think Jesus doesn't necessarily need reminding of that, you know. But that comes from that bit in Luke where several of the Gospels, where Jesus is at Jericho. But I always think, love the bit that comes after it, where he says to the man who's calling out, who's a blind man, he says, "What do you want?" And the blind man says, "Lord, I just want to see." And I think that's a great prayer. You know, "Lord, help me to see." Because sometimes I think it's about how we look at what happens in our lives and what can we see there. And if we just see, you know, when it's bad things, if we just see that somehow that's bad, that's not God, that's out of the will or whatever, or that something's gone wrong with our faith because of this, I don't think we're seeing things properly. So that prayer to see, I think, is really important.
That's great. That's great, because I think that about the news. You know, the news shouldn't be called the news, the 10 o'clock news. It should be called the bad news at 10.
Exactly.
Because what follows is half an hour of what a terrible place the world is. And it's so one-sided. And it's, so, you know, love never makes the news, or very seldom makes the news. Whereas actually the world is full of wonderful people loving one another, caring for each other, you know, now trying to do the best they can to save the planet. There's so much goodness in the world, but we delete it all. We don't see it. We just see all that's bad. We see wars and we see, you know, climate change, and we see all that sort of thing. So it is that shift of emphasis. It's like just viewing your life as all there are is obstacles and hurdles, and actually all the time you're doing that, you're missing the fact that you just took a breath of fresh air. And
yes,
you know, there are people who hopefully there are people who care about you and love you, and there's colour coming and there's green everywhere because it's spring, well, in the UK anyway, you know. So there's that whole thing, and I think you're right, Jesus helps us to see all that as well.
Yeah, and if we only say that the good thing about being Christian is the conversion moment, you know, that bit,
yeah,
if that's all it means to choose life, just that bit, there's an awful lot of not life that you've got to get through before the next good bit, isn't there?
Yeah,
in
exactly
that case.
Right.
You know, you just got to hang around for a long time or whatever, or, you know, however long you've got until you can actually pass the entrance exam to heaven. So I think it's about how we view life. But thank you, Jill. That's really helpful.
Yeah, really good question. Okay. Well, this is from Rebecca, and she wrote in responding to what's the point of Joe, but I think this email is going to take us into what we wanted to talk about today. And she says this: "I was blessed in knowing my calling very early. I agree with your discussion. To begin with, this was about learning my talents and gifts. At the age of 5, my dad recognised my gift for drawing and encouraged me to practice. At school, I found I also enjoyed sewing as well. At the age of 12, I told my mum that I wanted to be a fashion designer. Her wisdom was to advise me that I wouldn't make money from this profession, but her further wisdom was to accept my reply, but at least I will be happy doing my job. And she encouraged me to follow my dream. I know that my talent for art and ability to sew and engineer clothing are gifts from God. It is my obligation to practice, learn, develop, grow and nurture them. My success in my work has come from God's guidance and my hard work." Well, that's good, isn't it?
Great. Yeah. And that does lead nicely into what we want to talk about today, because what we want to talk about is well, I put out this question and I'm not sure it was a good question. I think it was a good phrase.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not sure where the question came over clearly enough, which is, you know, why does God get all the praise when I did all the work?
Yeah.
And it's really, I'm thinking about the role of our talents and our abilities.
Yeah.
And how that fits in with God's guidance and God's inspiration and that kind of thing. So I know you put it out on the social media, didn't you?
I put it out on the socials, as they say.
You did.
Which means I put a very poor quality video on Facebook. And we got this in from Mel. And he says, "Here's what I reckon. I think it's because when we do what's good, we are allowing God to work through us. We are allowing him to shape and define who we are and act in the world in a way that displays his majesty. When we do something that isn't seen to be good, it is because we are acting in the world on our own volition. We have closed the doors on the holy conduit and let our own desires become more important than God's. God gets the praise because he is goodness. When we keep the doors open for him to work through us, the praise belongs to both of us because we are intermingled. Also, God's done a great job with your podcast. I really appreciate all the effort he puts in and the way he always makes me laugh. That's Mel. Like that. Thanks, Mel.
Yes. So I think this gets straight to some of the issues that I'm having with it. I'm trying to think through. Because, yes, God's done a great job with our podcast, but I can't help noticing he doesn't do any of the editing.
Very poor at that, isn't he? I'm going to have to mark the divine down.
I'm sure he'd be great, but he doesn't. You know, I do it on a Friday morning and I shape it and I craft it and I try and cut out all the heresies that you said and I fail at that. And in fact, it's ironic because I'm probably doing heresies now, even as we speak. But no, you know, so there's an old story that I think my granddad used to tell me about a gardener. So there's this old boy who has a garden, right? And it's a lovely garden. He spends all his time there. And he works very hard at it. And the vicar comes past and the vicar leans over the fence and goes, "Oh, look at your garden. Look at what you and God have done in your garden." And the old boy goes, "Yeah, there is that." He said, "But you should see what it looks like when I just leave him to do it."
Yeah.
So my what Mel is talking about is, yes, this idea that all goodness in us comes from God. This is a very Augustinian idea.
Yeah.
So Augustine, who I know we gets a bit of a sort of kicking sometimes on this podcast.
Disgusting Augustine. Yeah, he does.
But to be fair to him, he was just trying to do his job. He had no idea the Western Church was going to build theologies on everything that he was saying. But he was trying to work out, where does evil come from? How comes there's bad things in the world? And so his idea, not a new one, but he sort of really encapsulated, was that anything good you do comes from God.
Yeah.
And that outside of that, you cannot do good on your human self because all evil comes from humanity.
Yeah. And then we got original sin and all that stuff.
Well, and ranged against him was a guy called Pelagius, who was a British theologian. And he argued, yes, no, you can become good in your own volition. You can be an act of will. You can do it. And those two sort of argue between them. And it's sort of caught on that dilemma, really. And then there's a thing called semi-Pelagianism, which comes in later, which is like okay, so the impulse to move towards God is an act of will. And then after that, God's grace takes part. So, yes, I think ultimately all good things, yes, of course they come from God. But actually individual skill, what's our role in that?
Yeah,
what's
sure.
Connections. Does that make sense? That's kind of what I'm thinking about here, really.
That's good. I'm going to respond to some bits later. From Facebook, Claire said, "I asked an older, wiser friend, and he said, because God gives us the tools to do it with. God also does stuff within and without you, and didn't he die for you? I know he did for me. I suggest you read Honest to God. It's short."
Okay.
So
thank you.
There you go. That's
that solved all my problems.
Okay. So, and then Steve said, "Just some kind of institutional tradition, isn't it? It must never be about human talent or achievement. Otherwise, it's man-made and not God-created. Therefore, if kingdom events are successful and outcomes appear to be favourable, that's a sure sign that God was in it. God agreed with it. God blessed it. Therefore, we cannot claim any glory or it will be reduced to some kind of human endeavour, sinful and egocentric. That won't do. By giving God the praise, we stay out of it and succeed in keeping our dirty mitts off." I think this is very tongue-in-cheek, I must say, from Steve. But he's making the point. But what he did then do was send a quote from C.S. Lewis from his book on the Psalms on praising. It's quite long, so I think you're going to put it on the website for us and it's on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll put it on the website, yeah.
Okay, so and then we had this in from John, and John sent a few sort of bullet points, but one of them was perhaps because in him, brackets her, we live and move and have our being, and we are surrounded by much which is amazing, tangible and intangible, in which we be. So yes, I think I'm quite with that one. The idea that, well, if everything is God infused, of course we give thanks to God for all good stuff that happens.
Yes.
And then we got this fantastic email from Anne, and I think this really, I think this is really responding to what you were getting at when you asked the question. So Anne says, why does God get all the praise when we do all the work? She says, that thought struck me quite forcefully a while ago when someone in church said to me, God has clearly been at work in your life. The facts were, though, that this was during a period when I was anti-God, didn't pray or read the Bible, and attended church quite unwillingly. To my mind, the reason I had changed was to do with the 18 months or so of counselling I had been through, combined with reading about how to grow through the issues I was facing and putting into practice what I was learning, which had been challenging. As I could see, God had nothing to do with it, at least in an overt way. I wanted to take the credit for those changes and honour those who had supported me. To give all the praise to God felt like a denial of the work and effort that I'd put in, the tears that I'd shed, and the way I'd worked at challenging how I felt about myself. It felt as if the person who spoke to me completely ignored or belittled my efforts. The truth, I discovered subsequently, is that of course the divine was there, in the person of my counsellor, in the books I was reading, and ultimately in the centre of my being. But at the time, I felt quite resentful about it. And that's a man.
That's great. And that is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I'm wondering why I feel so strongly about this. And I think it's partly because I really hate the sort of heads I win, tails you lose theologies. That
yes, yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
In other words, if it goes well, it's God's work. All praise to God. If it goes bad, it's my fault.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, well, okay, if it goes well, yes, praise to God. But also maybe some praise, at least, to human skills and planning,
yeah,
and
exactly,
creativity and all those other things. Because if God is father, what kind of father just wants to take all the credit for everything that his children do?
Yeah.
That's well, we know what kind of fathers. Yeah. There are those kinds of fathers. Yeah, but, sure, you know, more I go on in Christian life, I just think it's a collaboration. It's us working in collaboration with the divine in order to do what is good in the world and to develop our talents and to achieve things. And so, of course, I'm thankful for the tools, and of course I'm thankful that God shaped me in a way that I would become, for example, a writer, but I've also put a lot of work in, and I think you know, there's an honouring of humanity that I think it doesn't happen if you suddenly say, well, of course it's all down to God. We're actually coming back down to that kind of look at humans. We're wormy worms, we can't do anything, and I don't think that's how God views us at all.
No, absolutely. Well, you're preaching to the choir here. I completely agree with you on that. And I really can see Anne's frustration in that moment. You work, I mean, counselling is a very vulnerable thing to do. Most people probably should do it. Most people don't do it because they're too scared. What if counselling shows that I really am the freak I fear I am? What if I really am odd? What if I really am not normal? It's a frightening thing to go through. But when you've done that and then you've started working with it and thinking about it and journaling and working through those issues and having discussions and reading, and you do put in so much work very often for that to just be dismissed. Oh, isn't God good? Look what God's doing in your life. Well, yeah, God is at work. But actually, I've shed tears over this. This stuff has kept me up at night. I've worked really hard.
Yeah.
To work through some stuff and you're not noticing any of it. You know, that just doesn't seem right at all. I really get that. Thank you, Anne, for sending that in.
There's a balance, isn't there? It's a bit like when we talk about gratitude and gratitude for all that God gives us. You know, all that God gives us comes from a multitude of different sources.
Mm.
You know, the custard comes from not just directly from God inventing, I don't even know what's in custard actually, flour and egg, isn't it?
I think
yeah,
so.
Egg and flour, sugar, and milk and all that kind of cream and sugar. Yeah, yeah.
This is a brilliant analogy, yeah.
It's going well. All those ingredients, but actually, you've still got to make the custard. You know, somebody had to invent custard, and all praise to the person who invented custard.
I imagine it was Sir Harold Custard.
It was, I think, so later Lord Custard. You know, in other words, it's an honouring of humanity. Aren't human beings wonderful?
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, all praise to God because human beings are wonderful. Yeah. What an amazing thing. But there's a phrase in McDonald, George McDonald, who I haven't mentioned for a while. He sort of talks about how humanity should be persuaded of its own honour as a temple of the living God. That each one of us should be honoured for what we are and not just dismissed as kind of like some robot through which God sort of achieves his ends or not, you know.
Yeah, well, it comes from this idea that we are the hands and feet of God. You know, if someone needs loving, you know, it's going to be through us loving them. That's how it works. But I think you're right. I think to just dismiss the humanity is completely missing the point. And it goes back to what we said before. You know, perhaps the question isn't, does God exist? Does anything else exist? If everything around us is divine, this is where I come back to what John was saying, I think. If this is this God-bathed universe we're a part of, and actually divinity infuses us itself, as does all this creative energy, because presumably that's part of the personality of the divine as well, then it's actually wonderful that we can create goodness and do goodness. It's scary that we can also use those things to do all sorts of harm as well. But it's wonderful that human beings can do goodness. And I always think when I see someone being kind, I never think, oh, I must praise God for that kindness necessarily. But I always think in any loving act, with any loving kindness, when I see it, I just think, gosh, you have just revealed the divine to me.
Mm.
So I thank the person, but I recognise that they're revealing the nature of God in that moment. So that's the other way round, isn't it? Thanking and praising the person for showing me what God's like.
I think that's really helpful because I think, in a way, it sort of devalues God to just give him all the praise, yeah, or, you know, and ignore the humans who are following the divine or who are channeling skills. You know, that seems to be missing out a major part of it. And what you're talking about is what I was saying earlier about how, you know, eyes to see, you're seeing how God is revealed.
Yeah.
In the skills, the talents, the abilities, the decisions of people. And so to just take those out of the equation, it turns humans into robots, and I don't think that works at all. So really, that's really helpful. That's all I was trying to get at. I just think we're in collaboration all the time. We're working alongside. And, of course, the Holy Spirit inspires us to do things, and some things come out of the blue and you don't really expect that, but some things you have to work at yourself. And both, I think, are manifestations of the presence of God.
Yeah, well said. Hey, I've thought of a way to end the podcast.
Go on, then.
Well, here's a thought. Why don't we all go out from this place and whatever we do next, let's just do something kind for someone. Because I believe the divine is kindness. I really do. We won't go into why, but I think when you see kindness, you're seeing God. So how about just using your energy and power and go and do something kind for someone, regardless of whether you get thanked for it or not, just know that you're revealing the heart of the divine as you do it. There you go.
Excellent. Well, we should end it. But not least because that's enough. I just don't want to talk to another person for quite a while.
You need to take a rest.
I just want to hide in a cupboard now. But thank you ever so much for listening. That is very kind of you. And we really do appreciate the nice things that people say. And I suppose we appreciate the nasty things people say, but in a different way.
Yes.
Thank you very much for supporting the podcast to those who do that. That's lovely. That's a really lovely act. And next week, I think we'll be back with an interview next week, I imagine.
Yes, we will, with the fabulous Brian McLaren.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. So we will be back with you in a week's time.
And we'll get through some of this more incredible feedback. Thank you, everyone. Keep your emails coming in. We so appreciate it. Bless you.